Hey, housewives, come on in. You know the dirty dishes are still in the sink from yesterday and the laundry is still in the basket. Pop your AirPods in and make yourself at home here.
I'm Tracy.
I'm Tori.
And we are your Unlikely Housewives. Stepping out in faith and believing that God calls the unlikely, we are here to show you the appreciation and validation you deserve, lead you to authentic relationships, and release you of believing the cultural lies to restore your faith and wellness.
Pull up those high-waisted yoga pants, tighten your top knot, and reheat your coffee for the third time. Turn up the volume and let's go. Hey, housewives.
Hey.
We are coming to you today as a first part to a two-part episode with the amazing, incredible couple, Jessica and Anthony Sherman. Now, if those names don't ring a bell for you, perhaps Sausage or Shermanator.
Particularly
does.
For Anthony.
For Anthony. He played for the Kansas City Chiefs as number 42, but
we learn a ton about Anthony and Jessica in this episode. It was so fun to hear how they met, how they are quite the competitive couple, which we related to really well. We talked about their love languages. It was really cool to see their story from college life, meeting in college at the University of Connecticut, and then how they transitioned into Anthony preparing for the draft and
the NFL.
Into the NFL.
If you didn't already know, he was a fifth round draft pick by the Arizona Cardinals, and they spent the year there and then was traded to the Kansas City Chiefs, where he has the Shermanator and Sausage nickname. And so they shared about how their faith grew within the NFL, and the NFL community actually, believe it or not, grew their faith and supported their faith. And now how they represent their faith in other organizations today, like Fellowship of Christian Athletes. So enjoy episode one of Anthony and Jessica Sherman, and can't wait for part two.
Hey, housewives, welcome back.
Welcome back. We have got two people in studio today with us, and we are super excited about. One of them we'll call the rookie, because this is the first time I think she's done this.
Yes.
Even her own husband hasn't let her on his podcast yet.
Well, that's not true. I've gotten to get her on a couple of times, but she refuses.
Oh, different story.
She's all over there.
She likes me more because said yes to
count
me.
Which
I didn't know I signed up to get on a podcast that was called The Housewife.
Yes, Unlikely Housewife.
Yeah, housewives. Okay, see, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I might have said no to that, but that's
right,
okay.
That's
we'll roll.
She got you here.
Yep,
she did. Here. Yeah. I have got Anthony Sherman here and his wife, Jessica. And if you do not recognize his voice already, he played for the Chiefs and has retired since then.
Yep.
But this family has become close friends with my family because of our kiddos. We have our kiddos that go to school together. And so, honestly, I was just telling Anthony that when we first met, I had no idea who he was. Like, I just didn't.
He was Anthony.
He was Anthony.
I was the competitive dad at a field day with two other competitive parents. And I'm like, these are the kind of people that I want to hang out with.
So it was so funny because I remember the first field day and then the second field day, you came in because you weren't able to volunteer that year and you wanted to make sure that Rex was on a good team.
Yep.
And when you found out that he was on Andrew and my team, he's like, all right, we're good. We know we're playing.
He did come home that day.
He's like, they play to win.
I had these two parents. They were real competitive.
You
did. You were like, I'm happy I was with them.
She'll be the first to say they've never been invited back for a round two of game night anywhere.
That is very true.
Yes.
And that's more because of me and not Andrew, actually.
Anthony and I are equally as competitive.
Because you played softball in college.
Yes.
And I mean, obviously with his background, I mean, so do you guys go against each other a lot in different things, like, and challenge each other?
Well, he refuses to work out with me.
Well, I'm not. No, you distract me. I'm not going to work out. I've done that before.
The only thing was I beat you in mini golf.
Well, I was going to say, you want to tell that story because it's not a good look for me. I know you enjoy.
It's probably the only time I've ever beat him at anything, but he was training for the combine, which is you have to get invited to prepare for the NFL combine.
Yeah. In front of all the NFL teams.
Yeah. Okay. So he went away to IMG in Florida to train for that for several months. And I had flown down for, I think, Valentine's Day, actually.
We put it as Valentine's, but I don't know if it was exactly
Valentine's. So yeah. So it was my spring of my senior year in college, and he had left early to go train there. So I went and visited him, and I hadn't seen him in like a month or so and was only going to get like a couple days. And we went mini golfing and I beat him, and he was actually like really mad. Like it was.
I know.
I think we ended up getting in a fight after because I was like, come on.
Yeah.
Are you really, really mad?
But I was really upset at myself because I don't like to lose, even in simple field day activities
or mini golf.
My husband and I can relate. We play cards. We play euchre and pitch and all kinds of things. And we fight a lot. I'm usually on his dad's team and he's on his mom's team because we're so competitive with each other. But yeah, it's pretty intense.
Yeah. I love it though. Yeah. I love competition.
Yes. It's what makes it fun.
Right.
Like, so Andrew and I, we used to have a pool table in our house before kids. We were cool before kids. And we would play pool. I'm terrible at pool. Like terrible at it. And one time I beat him. One time. Would the man let me go to bed? No, we had to play for another like two or three games because he had to make sure that he won and won enough.
Just have my moment.
I was like, can I have one? But yeah, no, same thing.
Yeah, no. So she's an unbelievable athlete and I am terrible at basketball and she's good at basketball. So there was another time we were in college and she wanted to play horse. There was very strategic behind like, I'm not going to play her in basketball. She's going to win.
Yeah.
And it's going to just irritate me. So I'm like, nah, I'm good. Like, I'll just watch you shoot around or whatever.
Yeah.
Like,
mind you,
not gonna
he's
do
good
it.
At everything else. Basketball is
the one thing.
Defense. I can play defense. I'll be physical.
You know, how are you in softball?
Softball?
Yeah.
I mean, I have videos of softball. I'm pretty good.
Okay. That's your sport. That's what you played in college.
Yes. But he was also a stud baseball player in high school. So.
Oh, all right. Well, then.
He probably
not fast pitch softball, slow pitch, beer league.
Okay. All right. Andrew needs to get in that beer softball league with you guys.
Yeah.
That would be fun. Oh, my gosh. Can you imagine? I can just see the competition now. Like, holy cow. Oh, my goodness. Okay. So what position did you play in softball?
I played shortstop.
Okay. That's Juliet's sport. She's softball. So she's cannot wait for it to start.
Yes.
So we alluded to it. You guys met in college. And what college did we go to?
University of Connecticut.
Okay.
National champs. So anyone that likes KU knows that.
All right. Oh, we got a rock chalk over here. And
I married one.
Yes.
Let's just say that.
Yes. Oh, I feel bad for you.
Sorry, Chris. Okay. So did you guys meet he's older than you. Yes or no?
No.
Oh, the secret is out.
I am 11 days older than him.
She's older.
But you got, you're a cougar.
I've told her that multiple times.
Yes, I love it. Okay, so how did you guys meet in college then?
It's always fun if you both tell it because I'm sure it's different.
I was going to say, there's a version.
There's a version of it that is different, but you can start.
And I'll correct you when you're wrong.
Right.
Which is fine. And I've learned over time, over 10 years of marriage, that I'm just going to just be quiet.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Tell a story she wants. And I'm good with it. So the dorms that we lived in were like, they were called South, and they were suites. And you had a roommate in your room and then another group of roommates, but we shared the same common area. And bathroom and stuff like that. So it was like a suite kind of, but you just had a roommate. And we lived two floors below them when we had class with one of our roommates. We didn't know each other at the time.
So he was rooming with three other football players and our room had two softball players and two lacrosse players.
And one of the lacrosse players, we had a class together and she's like, hey, me and my roommate want to debunk our bunk beds and make two separate beds and kind of organize, but we can't do it. Can you guys come up and help us?
Can the big football players come up?
So we're like,
Well played, roommate.
Yeah, why not? So we went up there and we did that. And then we just kind of, we all just gelled. We were all really close friends. We would always do stuff with each other. And I had liked her probably from the first day we met. Like, I thought she was beautiful. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm whatever. I'm like, come on. And she wanted nothing to do with me.
And she was focused on studies, right? Or was there? Yes.
Yes.
We're like, I'm here for college and for softball.
Yeah. No. So we were really
more
close.
Or less like
we were close friends.
Not a football guy.
We were.
They have a reputation.
Gotcha.
We were close friends for probably the next 4 or 5 months. We would always do stuff as rooms, and it was a joke. We used to call our room number was 237. Mm-hmm. We used to call it Club 237.
Oh. So one of the first days that I went down to his room, we've been drinking a little bit, and he said, did you ask me for my number?
Yep.
And I had seen on Facebook that he had a girlfriend, so I went, no. And I said, you have a girlfriend? And he said, I'm going home this weekend to break up with her.
I didn't want to be with her anymore.
They had a bye week, and I didn't think he...
That sounds bad.
She's your wife. It's fine
I
now.
I was in college.
Yes.
And she didn't, well, she was back
she
at
was
home.
A high school girlfriend.
So yeah. I'm like, I don't want to do it. I wanted to be a gentleman and not do it over the phone or text message, which
So I was getting to that. Like, so he really was planning on doing that. But when he told me that, I, of course, was like, yeah, sure. So I gave him my number and I said, do not call me at all until you don't have a girlfriend. And I kind of just thought like I wasn't, you'd never call me. And I had gone home for the weekend because I lived like 45 minutes away, and he got to go home like that only weekend because that was the one weekend they weren't playing a game. And he called me like
when?
3 days, like 2 days later.
Sunday evening when I was Sunday driving evening, back to school.
And he said, I broke up with my girlfriend.
And then will you
and
be
then
my girlfriend?
I immediately was like, oh no, because I got nervous that he broke up with her for me. And I was like, I never said I wanted to date you. So
I never agreed anything.
So then we were friends for like, an extended amount of time after that until I went home for Thanksgiving. And I had told my parents, I'm close to my parents, they're great. And I had told them that he liked me. And he had like this stellar game. I mean, his name got brought up on TV like hundreds of times. And I'm like, my dad looks at me and he's like, why don't you like him? And then I kind of was like, I didn't really have a good answer because we were friends and I thought it was funny and great. And so I think at that moment I was like, maybe I do. So then I texted him and he never responded.
Switcheroo.
Yeah. Reeling her in. Yeah.
And then I think actually like right before that game, I had found out that he was talking to another girl. And I think that that was kind of what sparked my, like, I didn't think I liked him until I found out that
but
it was.
But now I need to pee on this hydrant.
Yeah.
And I need to mark my territory. Yeah. I need to make sure he knows.
So then right after that, he had, like, great games. And I think I was kind of regretting, like, did I lose my opportunity? And then the first day back.
Which is not true, but she did.
Yeah. So then the first day back after Thanksgiving break, it was my birthday and my roommate. So we went down there and my girlfriend was like, everyone, we're going out for Jess's birthday. And Anthony never went out. He just was like focused on football and never went out. And he got dressed so quickly and he came out. And then that was the first day to
and
a long time for us.
Yeah.
Aw. Okay. So... then
I'm surprised you told that version of it because usually she likes to quote that he was talking to a girl to make me.
He was.
Oh, yeah. No.
To make you jump.
Uh-huh. So, yeah.
I was 100% doing that.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure.
He likes to think he had that much game. And I'm like,
That's awesome. Okay, so you guys started dating in college. That's sophomore year?
Like midway through sophomore year.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think our first date was December, right?
Yeah.
It was a couple of days after your birthday. And then I think we officially, big official. January 9th.
Something like that.
Look at those dates.
We celebrated that anniversary for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now we have a new one.
official.
Yeah. And then after you're married, you're like, all right.
Yeah.
Is it Valentine's Day? Oh, yeah. Happy Valentine's.
That's what we do.
Yeah.
He looks at me the day before Valentine's Day this year. He's like, we didn't do anything for each other for Valentine's Day, right? And I'm like, no.
Yeah.
Well, my thing is like, I'm
so busy doing those Valentine's Day kids.
If you want to go all out for Valentine's Day, go ahead. But I'm not going to change the way I love you for one day.
Andrew calls it a Hallmark holiday. He's like, they need
it. Oh my God, I've been calling it that for years.
Yeah, that's his thing.
He's like, my husband calls it too. But
yeah, like, we love you. We love you. Like, but at the same time, I'm like, we can go out to dinner any week and enjoy.
I'm also an awful gift giver. So any holiday that I don't have to buy gifts,
you're a fan of.
Let me ask that question though, because you say awful gift giver. Is it because you don't know what to get him because he gets it himself?
So
that's the way my husband is. If it's something he needs, he just gets it. So like
don't
he'll say
her.
That.
Don't let her off the hook.
I also am a procrastinator and I feel like the best gifts are well thought out. So you have to think about them in advance. And that's just not how I work. I'm like, okay, his birthday's tomorrow. I'm going to Shields.
Yeah.
And then I'm saying, and then I'm standing in Shields and I'm like, he has all of this stuff. And then if it has anything to do with hunting, I have no idea. And then if I get him another pair of sweatpants or t-shirt, he's like, really, babe?
It gets harder the longer you're together.
So I really just need to get better at thinking, because I do have good ideas, but that needs to happen in advance. And I don't really work though.
We'll convene later, because I've got some things that are just my go-tos. So for just like...
I'm very simple and I'm a guy, so it doesn't take much.
I mean, at some point, you could just get naked and that could be the present.
Oh, that's always
the present. I wouldn't say this was family-oriented show.
I mean, it is, but we're talking about,
you could do
sex
that.
And a marriage.
Listen, if you do that...
We're good.
I'm good.
Yep.
I didn't ask for... I said,
that will be your Valentine's Day present.
That's what I told you yesterday.
Yep. Hey, listen, was fine with it.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
No, I she's gotten better. But
at gift giving, not gift giving.
Yes, I would like it.
Come on, baby.
That's what I was like, Valentine's.
Yes. Sorry, no. Gift giving.
I'm training
I'm like,
her.
Okay.
Gift giving. She started early on. She got me a blender 1 year because I like to make protein shakes.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But then it seems that she was using the blender as much as I was.
Oh yeah. The Homer Simpson when he got Marge a bowling ball. Does that recognize anybody? He's like, oh. And she's like, I don't, I guess you don't want it. I'll use it. I'm like,
it was like, it looked that for a little bit, but now she's gotten better. But I'm like, just text one of my friends.
Yeah.
Or.
Do you know what your love language is?
Yeah, I think so. I think I've been told it.
What?
Right. Okay, physical touch.
Physical touch. Okay.
And I think words of affirmation would be his.
His. Okay.
Yeah, I don't do that. I don't pay attention to that stuff.
Yeah. Okay. What's your
I think that, that your love language
quality time.
I think I that your that. Love language a lot of times is like what you are best at.
Yeah.
So I feel like he's very good at physical touch and he's very good at words of affirmation.
Aww.
Like he'll tell me all the time, oh, you look so beautiful. And I'm not good at that. And I just think that I have to like intentionally like think about that.
I agree.
And that is my husband and I. Yeah. To a T.
And he just does it so easy. And I have to like think about it. Like if I see him and I'll think in my head like, wow, he looks good. But I don't like say it. It's just. Uh-huh. So I feel like physical touch and words of affirmation are what he's good at. And I feel like that's what he desires.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because we naturally want to give the person what we would want.
Right.
Yeah. Right. And so, yeah, I'm
like the best gift givers, I think, like love when we see them.
When thoughtful gifts. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly.
I'm a good gift giver.
You are. I think mine is quality time. For sure.
Before.
Well, this is funny that you say that, quality. And I know it is quality time because we do.
We spend a lot of time together because we both.
Which is great.
Stay at home.
I absolutely love it. But when we first started dating, to her friends and I think even to herself, she was a difficult person to date. She didn't want to be, not too committed, but like.
Attached.
Independent. She's a very independent woman. She didn't want me to like. Want to hang out with her all the time. She didn't want, which I'm like, okay. But I was getting coached by one of her girlfriends. Like, hey, don't ask to hang out all the time. Like, don't want to see her all the time. And I'm like, okay. But like, I wanted to know that like.
I want to be with her.
I want to see her.
Well, I think at that
point,
she's going to
get spooked out. Like if you ask her all the time, she's going to think it's weird.
Well, I think at that point, I loved my personal time with like my friends and my team. And I loved being with my team. And then once I like really fell for him.
Yeah.
Then I was like, I'd rather hang out with him all the time. And then even my roommates were like, you're never home anymore.
Right.
But like in the beginning when I was just trying to like feel it out. I'm like,
but I was
overbearing.
Like,
I might go running for the hills.
Quality time, which is funny because at the beginning she did not want that.
Mm-hmm. Well, because that's with everybody else she's ever dated. She didn't really ever get to a point where she wanted quality time with
them. There you go.
There it is.
That's a professional right
I got you. All right. So then when did you guys get married? After college?
Yes, we got, so right after college, he got, so April, I was in my spring semester, probably like 3 weeks before graduation, and I had, he didn't do his spring semester of his senior year because he went to train for the combine, but he got drafted by the Arizona Cardinals. So then he went to live out there, and then I came out to Arizona like in October.
Okay.
And then I got my master's when I was there because I was like...
Mind you, we didn't know the Lord at this point.
Is pre-Jesus.
Okay.
This is pre-Jesus. So just okay. FYI for everyone listening. We're not going to...
Yeah.
Yeah. No, hey.
We understand what we did.
Yeah.
Right.
Feel bad about it.
Nope. 100%. No.
Okay, yes. Sorry
you're,
to interrupt.
You're talking to two other people that...
Yeah.
Pre-Jesus relationships.
So, okay.
Yeah, you're good.
I followed him out there, but I was very... I went there knowing, like, I'm going there...
To be with him.
To be, like, we're going to get married. Yeah. But because I'm an independent person and I just was like, I need something for me to go. Like, I can't just go all the way across the
I
country.
I can't make him think I'm moving to Arizona. I'm going to go ahead and get a degree while I'm there.
So I got my master's degree. To Arizona, but I'm not the reason.
And the crazy part about this is I got my master's from Ottawa University in Arizona.
How funny.
And then I... didn't even ever step foot in the Midwest until he got traded here. And then
for non-Kansas people, Ottawa is 45 minutes south of us.
I'm living, you know, in the state that I got my master's from, but I had never stepped foot in the Midwest. Like,
so do you go and visit your alma mater?
I've never been.
You're an Ottawa alum. I mean,
so I got my master's out there. And then he went through his first season with the Cardinals. And then that June, we got engaged. And then the following June, we got married.
Great time to get traded, if you wanted to ask.
Oh, yeah. 6 weeks before our wedding, he got traded to Kansas City.
She just had sent out the invitations with return address
to Arizona.
Like, and then the 2 days before I got traded.
Mind you, when you get traded, it goes like this. The phone rings. You're being traded to the Kansas City Chiefs. We have you on a flight tonight at 9 p.m. And then...
Arizona tells you you're being traded.
Well, so
and then, hey, you're going to get a call from this guy and the Chiefs, and they're going to get
and they're
going to
get on a new flight.
So then you get another phone call, and it says, "Hey, we're super excited to have you. Can you leave tonight? We would prefer you leave tonight, and so you can get your physicals and done, and your flight's at 9:30."
So what I think people don't realize, like the behind the scenes thing, is it's all on
the spouse.
The other person.
Yeah, the spouse or...
So, luckily...
I said goodbye, jumped on a plane with a bag, and said...
I'll see you soon.
See you later.
Luckily, we found out quickly that when you are traded, the team that trades for you pays for your whole move. So, like, we just had someone come in and just, like...
Pack it all up.
Pack the whole thing, and then shipped our cars, and so then we, like, found a place to rent.
Where is the wedding planned?
In Connecticut.
Okay, so the wedding is going to be...
Yeah, I'm from Massachusetts.
Okay. I'm from Connecticut, yeah.
We're parents to her parents. So it's crazy because people in the Midwest don't realize how small New England is.
Like,
we go through the entire state of Rhode Island east to west or west to east, depending on what house you're coming from, in 45 minutes.
Yeah.
So like you went through east to west, the entire state in 45 minutes. So she's on like 10 minutes of the Connecticut, Rhode Island border, and I'm 2 minutes on the other.
So basically, I'm in Connecticut, he's in Massachusetts, and like almost the entire drive is through Rhode Island to get to it.
Okay, so Andrew and I lived in Baltimore for about a year and a half. And so that was one of the things that was so incredible is like living up there and you're like, oh, I'm just going to go drive to Pennsylvania or I'm just going to go drive to Virginia.
Well, I do feel like we have a similar situation here with the Missouri, Kansas, but then once you get in either state, then you're in that state.
Yes, hours.
So yeah, so we got traded. He got traded 6 weeks before, and we rented a house in Lee Summit. You don't really know where everyone lives, so we rented a house in Lee Summit. I think the moving trucks got there one day, and then the next day we flew home. I left first, and then
you left first, and I had like the last 2 days of OTR mini camp. And then I flew out.
So we got married and then we spent a lot of the summer at home. And then he flew back for training camp and I didn't fly back until the end of training camp because I was like, what am I going to do in Kansas? Yeah. I don't know anyone.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And now we were actually in Missouri at the point, which when he got traded to Kansas City, I had to look on a map where Kansas City was. And I couldn't for the life of me understand why Kansas City was in Missouri.
Yeah. And then there's a Kansas City, Kansas, and Kansas City, Missouri. And you're like,
I understand. And they're next to each other. So it makes it really fun to figure that out.
Well, when people ask when we were moving here, they're like, oh, so you're going to Missouri? And I was like, wait, no, I think we're going to Kansas. Are we going to Kansas or Missouri? And like, I didn't know what.
And people too, like where we're from, they're like, what do you guys do there? Like they think like Wizard of Oz and
living on a farm.
And I'm like, there is way more here than there is where we came from.
Yeah.
So I just laughed.
What year was this when you guys finally came to Kansas City?
2013.
Okay.
And actually it was May of 2013. And that is when it snowed in May here because he called me in Arizona and said, it's snowing. And I said, we are moving to a place where it snows in
Yeah, and now Arizona was already in the hundreds.
Yeah.
So like,
but anyway, luckily that was not normal.
Okay. I have a very similar story. Our first, because Andrew and I moved in November of 2017. The first Easter we were here, so it was April 2018, it snowed. Mm-hmm. It was April Fool's Day. And I turned to him and I said, what hell did you move me to where it is snowing in April? I'm a Dallas girl. Like, we don't get snow, we get ice. And it lasts for 2 days. All the bread in the store is gone. Like, literally, that's
They shut everything down.
They shut everything down.
Gas stations are shut down.
They have no idea what to do. And then, but I'm like, it's snowing on Easter.
Luckily, we're from New England, so it wasn't. But it, even in New England, it doesn't snow in May. But that was only a one-time thing. So. Yeah.
Well,
thank goodness for that.
It's only
even though it's supposed to snow tomorrow.
I know, and it's after
still February.
It's still
So we get married. We're now in Kansas City, and you're playing for the Chiefs. And then, how do you make your way? Well, because you guys have been married for 10 years. Is that what you said?
Yeah, we just celebrated 10 years in June.
Okay. Early on, you had kids. You had Rex pretty...
Year later? June, we had Rex, August.
In August. So I was like, 7 months pregnant on our first year anniversary. That's what happens when you live together before marriage. When you get married, you have to like figure out something to do that's different. If we don't have kids right away, it's not going to really feel any different other than I can call you my husband.
Right. So we signed a paper. What else?
So I was let's have a kid.
That was, and you're like, that's
great. And I did. I had gotten my master's from Ottawa to be a school counselor.
Oh.
I think God knew that.
You would make it in today's school system.
I would not make it in today's school system.
Okay. So then let me ask you this. How did you guys come to know the Lord?
Okay. So that is a little bit more complex. So for me, my mother found Jesus when I was in high school. She went and saw The Passion of the Christ. She just felt super convicted that Jesus gave everything for us and she wasn't following him. And we had grown up in the Catholic Church, but it was
East Coast Catholic.
It was like, like people said that they were Catholic, but didn't really go to church. So
it's like now when people say that they're Christian and you're like, wait, but really, are you really Christian?
Right.
Are you really?
Right. So like I had gotten baptized. I think I made my first communion, but then I played softball on Sunday. So we stopped going. And so my mom had kind of already tried Catholicism and she just thought like I might go with my friend Mary, and then so she went to her church and she found the Lord and has been walking close with Jesus ever since. And then she would encourage me to come and I would come and I did like it. I would listen and I felt like I could understand a little bit better. And then I went off to college and I was like, I'm good, like life is good. I don't need anything else.
I'm good. Know? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then college came and I felt like when I went back home during college, I feel like I didn't want to.
Right.
I feel like I, when I went to church, it was like almost like calling out all the sin I was living in. And I was like, I don't really want to hear this.
Right. Yeah. Nobody does.
So then when we went to Arizona, my sister at this point had found the Lord. So I kind of, the Lord was working. And he was coming after me. I just didn't realize it. And I go to Arizona and I had no one. I had no community. I was so excited to go to Arizona because I was from New England. I was like, this is going to be amazing. It's so warm. It was tough. I had done like school softball. Like I was always busy. And here I am. I'm just getting my master's, like night classes.
I was going to say online or whatever. And
yeah, a couple night classes. Yeah. And then he's gone all day and he's the only one I know. I have no community. So he could tell. He'd be like, oh, I'm going to get a massage after practice. I was like, oh, you need to come home. because I need someone to talk to. And so it was even hard on, it was hard on our marriage because I was kind of pretty.
We weren't married yet.
Oh, that's true. It's a pretty hard relationship.
Hard on a relationship. Yeah. Okay.
Because I just, he was my only person, but he had his people. So he just started asking around at work and he came home and he was like, oh,
I had a great idea.
He goes,
I'm like, hey,
some of the girls are doing a Bible study. And I was like,
I didn't know the Lord.
Right. Yeah. But I'm like, so
here you go.
Here's a community. And
yeah, they meet weekly. Let's go.
So
yeah,
I had
some girls that are going to get together.
Yeah.
I didn't know what it was.
Yeah.
Like,
so
okay,
I think my desire for community definitely outweighed, I guess, my fear of going. I think I was
like your reservations of,
and
like,
it was more along the lines of, I don't even know these girls and they're going to be talking about Jesus in the Bible and I don't know anything about that.
Yeah.
So that felt a little overwhelming to me. In my mind, I'm like, they're going to think I'm stupid.
Right.
I don't know anything.
Yeah, I know.
That's a typical fear many women have before stepping into a Bible study.
Yeah. So like,
what do they know that I don't know?
Right.
Or, you know.
And so I went there and these girls were just awesome. And I had not really met people like that because a lot of people don't know this, but on the East Coast, there are not a lot of believers. There are not a lot of churches. So for us, it wasn't that we always got invited to church.
In general.
Huh?
Not enough nice people in general.
Well, it's because there's not Jesus there. Like, I wasn't invited over and over and over again as growing up, other than like my mom when she got saved. But it's not like you're invited. You just don't know what you don't know.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So these girls were just different. Like, I'm like, they were talking about some really hard personal things and the girls were not judgy. They were like just praying over each other and loving on each other. And I was just like, they have something that I don't have. And I knew they have Jesus.
And I don't.
Teach me more about this. Mm-hmm. So I just kept going. And then I found a church and I would go to church before his games. Like he would have a game at, I think in Arizona, it was like 2 o'clock or something. Right.
It was weird.
It was
like
weird.
They don't do time change.
Yeah. It was always something.
So like it would change for like, it could be 3 o'clock or 2 o'clock or one. It was weird. I don't know.
So I would go to church like in the mornings and then I would go to his game. So it kind of started with me going by myself during season because he always played on Sunday. And then when we would go back home to see family during the off season, and we did find a church there, but I didn't love it as much. But he would come and he was kind of like one foot in, one foot out. He was like just learning. But at this point, I was, you know, I was kind of all in. And this was when we were engaged. So I definitely did live with like a lot of conviction and kind of that year before we got married.
Okay, that's what I was going to ask. Was the timeline of like, all right, you're living together.
Yeah,
yeah.
It kind of overlapped like a little for me. I would say probably not for him. But
And then I would go to church whenever I could there. Yeah. And we loved that. That pastor actually, we flew him out to Connecticut and he
married us.
He married us.
Oh.
So like he was like the one. I just, when I first went, I was just like, you go to the Catholic church there and it's like, you go once every 4 years and I didn't learn anything or even understand what I was listening to or whatever it was. I went to one or two and I'm like, wow, I actually experienced that or I've went through something like that. Like,
yeah.
Okay.
Relatable.
What's going on here? And then I just watched her continue to grow.
I was going to say, because she changed.
She changed and then she was, I mean, I thank her all the time for this, but like she didn't let me not go.
So she was like, nope, you're going with me.
So, well, when we got to Kansas City, there was a Bible study here. And I mean, the girls in Arizona were great, but the community that I had here, the NFL, the teams are always changing. So like you find your core group of people and you get 1 year with them and then it's
done. Yeah.
So we had a really amazing group, I think the first 2 or 3 years. And I just grew so much in that time. And that first year I got baptized here. And then there's a NFL Christian conference for couples. It's called the PAO, Professional Athlete Outreach. And they just bring speakers in and like you get to be around like
community.
The guys.
For like, me, it's like.
And like like-minded people, like never, a bunch of grown men. Like
Football players, ex-football players, like where you're not, no one's looking at you because you're at church and everyone's like, oh, he's at church. Like, let's go over and look at like, they're all in the same boat.
Right.
Like big time names, everything are there and like no one cares.
Right.
And
you're just one of them.
Exactly. Like, and it was just really cool to see like, wow, there's a ton of guys So we that are believers been, that are awesome dudes.
Yeah.
And we had been asked, I think, a couple years to go. And then this whole time he was so willing to always go to church and like go to Bible studies, but, you know, just not fully bought in. 1 year I was like, okay, we're going. And I like bought the tickets for it. And in all his years, even in college, like he never allowed himself to get outworked. Like he was always working harder than every other person. And that's a testament to why he played as long as he did and got to play at the highest level. Like that's why at college he didn't drink. He didn't, he was like on a mission. So he's like, is there going to be a gym at this place? Like that's all he was worried about. So he was kind of like a big grouch on the airplane.
Oh, okay.
He was worried about
if there was going
to
be a gym.
If there was going to be a gym. And he got up every morning at like 5 a.m. to go to the gym before a breakout session in the morning. And a couple of these times he went off the resort because the resort gym didn't have heavy enough weights. So,
hey, listen, the second time I went, we were in, was it Key Biscayne?
Yeah, right? That was the one. Yeah. In like off or south of Miami, right?
Well, yeah.
In the Keys. Yeah.
I had a group, but then things started to like guys started to pick up that I was going to the gym.
Right? Yeah.
Rent a car just so I could go to the gym.
So, because you were going off the resort. Well,
so, Some of the guys started. I had four or five guys. We rolled into Miami every morning at like 6 and worked out at some like gym that was on, what's the TV show with The Rock? It was like, I didn't know it was.
Oh, I don't know.
But like, I
don't
either.
This place was pretty sweet. It was like
right on the water, right?
A warehouse that like was right on the canal.
Oh.
And like you could open the doors and like you're looking at boats and water, pumping iron with no AC. It was sweet. It was nice, but it wasn't like you would think they would put on. It was like showing these guys working hard or whatever it was.
Yeah.
Like, why does this look so familiar? And I just Googled it and I'm like, that looks good. Let's go buy a 3-day pass or whatever. So then I figured out ways to continue to go and still continue to work. So there was no excuse.
Right. Okay.
But after this first conference, he got baptized. So it is what he needed.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
I think a lot of people think, I mean, there's obviously a lot of opinions about the NFL and there's obviously a lot of garbage that can come from it, but it's crazy enough like where we found the Lord. So There are so many great people within the NFL and we have so many friends that we made over the course of 10 years of like solid, strong believers that like just came alongside us and kind of helped us along in our journey. So it's kind of cool because I think that that's not really what you'll ever see out there.
No, that's not a story that you will hear. That is not but it's also at the same time, like nobody in that community is going to be like, hey, look at us. We're going to a Christian conference, right? Yeah. Like, because that's not the point. The point is like you guys legit have a different life. Like you literally can't go out to dinner without somebody saying, hey, can I get an autograph or can I get a picture? But to be on the same level as everybody, you're just one of the guys or one of the members. Like, you can be like, okay, I can let my guard down here and not worry that somebody's going to be like, hey, can I get a signature or whatever?
Yeah, no, it was awesome. I mean, it's funny now, though, like even after all of this, like there's been plenty of times that I'm like, oh, babe, I really like this new guy on the team. Like, I feel like he's one of the guys, whatever. And then she'd be like, oh, yeah, his wife was just at Bible study. They're awesome. Like, it's just weird how the Lord works and like the people that you kind of start seeing and enjoying to be with and wanting to hang out with are all believers. And it's not because like you can't be with someone that's not a believer. It's just that kind of attracts you to that person. Yeah. You don't know it at the time.
It's community.
But it's like, I like that guy.
There's something about him.
I see Jesus.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Something familiar.
Yeah.
No, I mean, we're really close with 5 or 6 guys on the team from that.
And it's been awesome too, because the NFL has allowed us a unique opportunity to use Anthony's stage to share Jesus. So we've spoke at a lot of FCA events. We spoke at Field of Faith 2 years ago at Spring Hill High School.
Just 2 years ago, yeah.
Yeah. We spoke at a Fields of Faith kickoff. Where was that at?
Baldwin City.
Okay.
We spoke at Leewood Middle School. We've spoke at Aubrey Bend Middle School.
And just so everyone knows, she steals the show.
Of course she does.
She is unbelievable at those events. And I'm like, I'll just sign up and say I'll be there and like just let you take the 30 minutes and you roll, babe. Mm-hmm.
So like, for you, tell me, what is it about her?
She just, it's the message that she delivers. Like, it feels like there's a possibility that like she is going to preach at some point in that 25 minutes. She only gets 10, but the mm-hmm. how she gets 10 minutes of being like, boom.
Yeah.
It's like, that's awesome.
Well, I just feel like I
and
do.
She's always so like, I'm kind of nervous. I'm like, babe, you're fine.
I'm getting less nervous.
You're fine.
The more you do it, the easier it gets.
Well, I mean, God has been preparing you for the stage, this platform too, yeah. Because with sports, you would have to do interviews. You would have to like, and you've always been independent and right. like you're self-confident, but that's kind of fun to see how God is using you because of him and yeah. how he used you to get to him. Yeah. And then he's using his stage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To promote, like, that's yeah. just...
It's awesome.
That is awesome.
And I think too, like, I always pray before I go up there, and I'm just like, God, you help me speak your words through me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I just think that I went through 21, 22 years of my life not knowing him, and then he dramatically changed my life, and it's just my desire that everyone have that. So yeah. I feel like when it's on your heart, it's so easy to just have it pour out of your soul, you know?
Yeah.
So I have a desire for people to know him the way I know him, because I don't think I realized I was lost, but then you realize.
Honestly, I think a lot of people don't know. They're good people.
Yeah, they are.
I'm a good person.
Yep.
Uh-huh.
So they don't think that they're missing out.
And they don't think that they need.
Yeah.
But I think the way our world is continuing to go, there is just darkness all around.
Yes.
And if you don't have the hope of Jesus, I just can imagine how dark this world must feel without the hope of Jesus.
Oh, yeah. Right?
Exactly.
Like even yesterday's events in Kansas City, I'm like, thank God our joy comes from the Lord and not from this world, because mm-hmm. this world's a scary, broken, dark place.
Yeah.
So thank God for Jesus.
Well, I think that is a perfect place to stop part one. Join us next week for part two. And I think we should just end on thank God for Jesus.
Whether we made you laugh or cry today, we pray you feel appreciated, bolder and braver than yesterday, stronger and more faithful for tomorrow, and living in who you were made to be today.
Join our online community on Facebook, link in the show notes, and be sure to review and subscribe on Apple Podcasts or wherever you enjoy listening. Until next time, housewives, we give you permission to walk confidently, free, and to be intentional in your slippers or stilettos.